Galatians 5:16. Got tangled up. First mistake I ever made. There was one other time when I thought I'd made one, but I was mistaken. Galatians 5:16. Let's just read to the end of the chapter. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Lord, you know the need of every heart in here this morning, and I ask that you will take your word and bless it to each heart. Meet the need, comfort the hearts. Lord, bring conviction where there needs to be, comfort where there needs to be. Give me a freedom and ease that only you can give, and we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's been a couple of months since we've been here, and I finished up with verse 15, if you bite and devour one another, take heed you be not consumed one of another. Now, it's almost like there's a little bit of a switch. It's really not a switch, because if you're walking in the Spirit, you won't be biting and devouring.
That's right.
And one of the themes of the book of Galatians has been, you remember back over in chapter 3, he said, if you began in the Spirit, how are you now made perfect by the flesh? And it's a very, very good point. I mean, the flesh cannot improve over the Spirit. So, he's been talking about you being a spiritual being. And because you are a spiritual being, well, that makes you somebody that can contact, can live with, can converse with, can experience things with God, because God is a spirit. And in order to worship God, you have to be spiritually minded. You simply are not going to worship God in the flesh. Now, the whole world worships God in the flesh. They think giving or doing or cows or dogs or snakes or animals or the people. All of these things. But see, you can't reach God that way. And the world's mistaken when it goes that direction. Because he tells this woman by the well, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, he'd been talking about the Spirit. Now, these verses right here are very definitely about the Spirit of God. If you're saved here today, I want you to understand you are a spiritual being.
That's right.
Amen. If you're not saved, then your spirit is dead. Doesn't mean you don't have a spirit. It means it's dead. It can't contact God. And for you to worship God, for you to have a good life, for you to live a Christian overcoming life, you have to be spiritual. And our only way to gain victory, and the reason why a lot of Christians fail, is they don't walk in the Spirit. They are spiritual. They're born again. Have the Holy Spirit of God in them. It's they keep walking by the flesh. Now, how can you tell if you're walking by the flesh? Well, he says right here, the works of the flesh are manifest. If this is what your life is like, about verse 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, That's lust, idolatry, witchcraft. You into witchcraft? Hatred. You going around hating all the time? Variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and if I didn't list it and all that, such like. If it's anything like this, you're not walking in the Spirit. It doesn't mean that you are not saved. It does not mean you do not have the Spirit of God in you. There is not a sin that a lost man can commit that a saved man cannot commit. We would like a real clean testimony before the church. It would be wonderful if everybody that professed faith in Christ Jesus walked a very good, clean, spiritual life. But they don't. And let's change that a little bit. We don't.
Amen.
How many times you've been angry, probably without a cause, in the last month? You had anything you brought up that you just hated? You've been worshiping your golf clubs or your automobile or your car or your bank account? That's idolatry. How about just a little bit of adultery and fornication or uncleanness? How about lasciviousness, a little bit of lust? Well, when those things are in your life, even for a day or for an hour, it proves you're not being led of the Spirit of God at that time. The works of the flesh are. Now, one good thing about having this listed like it's listed is you get a picture of what is the state of my mind at this given moment. So let's go back to verse 16. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit. Now first of all, you cannot walk in the Spirit if you're not spiritual. Lost men cannot walk in the Spirit. The world out there, they can't walk in the Spirit. They can't. They've never been born again. They don't have that spiritual nature. But the trouble with us Christians is sometimes we don't allow God to lead. And He's telling you, Mr. Galatian, He's telling you, Mr. Christian, walk in the Spirit. See, I don't know how to do that. Well, find out. Try experimenting. Try reading your Bible and praying.
That's right.
Try and do the work for God. You know, Brian's talked about it various times, about you substitute something good. You don't leave a vacuum. And I was a pretty big reader all of my life. Like I said, I was raised without a television and we went to the library, and from the time I was 7 years old, I could go to the downtown library and check out books and bring them home for a week or two and take them back. But now that didn't mean I spent all my time inside the house. We almost never did. We run barefooted all over and played in the gravel in the vacant lots, and you know, we were outside. You know the reason why I got such a fat generation right now? We are so rich. We have air-conditioned houses, and we have televisions, and we have all these games. These kids don't want to go outside. You get sweaty and you go outside. We didn't want to go inside because the houses were so hot until 10 o'clock at night. You didn't want to be inside. I mean, the parents are sitting on the front porch. You know what I substituted? When I got saved, I just quit reading all the other books.
Amen.
Now, I read them now, but there for several years, I just read the Bible or spiritual books. And that's why, you know, man, I read the Bible, the New Testament, 20 times the first year I was saved. And by the year 1961, good night, I'd read it over 60 times. Now, it became a sense of pride to me, so I quit counting. Probably shouldn't have, but I did. Because it became, I got a little too proud in that area. But you know what helps you? How you can quit smoking, how you can quit drinking, how you can quit getting into this adultery and fornication, fill your mind with the Word of God. Do something for God. Don't just say, I'm not going to live that life. Okay? No more adultery, no more fornication, no more stealing, no more, and I'm just going to sit right here and be good. Yeah, you will for about 2 hours maybe. If you last that long. You need to fill it up with something good. So instead of just not walking in the flesh, you need to walk in the Spirit. You need to get up and do something. Now, I've offended some people over the years for that statement, but I still believe it's true. You need to be doing something. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your situation is. You need to be doing something for God wherever you are. You find a ministry and get to doing it. I don't do all the things I used to do. And I kick myself about it every once in a while because I think I ought to still be able to do everything I used to do. But you know, I'm trying to gracefully grow old. You think you'll never do anything gracefully. Yeah, I understand. But I still want to do something. I want to do something for God. Walk in the Spirit. He's not telling you this as a lost man on how to get saved. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's telling a saved man how to live the life. He's telling a saved man how to have victory. He's telling the saved man how to please God. He's telling the saved man how to have a life filled with worth and value. Not only here, but for eternity. Walk in the Spirit. And by the way, if you're walking in the Spirit, look what it says there, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I was visiting a calligrapher in the very first diplomas we gave out of the Elder Seminary for the early preachers and missionaries that went. I took them to a calligrapher, and a lady with a very beautiful handwriting script, you know. And she began to ask me, she wasn't a Christian, but I paid her for her work on the diplomas. And so she asked me about, well, smoking and drinking. I said, no, I quit. You quit? Yeah. Smoked 16 years, quit when I was 21. That sounds terrible to some of you, I know. But remember, I'm an old country boy off a farm in Central Texas. My people were tobacco people. I said, yeah, I quit. She said, well, how in the world did you quit? I said, well, every time I wanted to smoke, I pulled out my New Testament and read a chapter or two and prayed, oh, Lord, I'm having a nicotine fit, oh, Lord. And it wasn't long. I knew a whole lot of Bible, and I wasn't smoking.
Amen.
She said, that's great. You substituted.
That's right.
I said, yes, ma'am. That's exactly what I did. I substituted. Now, if you don't walk in the Spirit, let me say this to you. You will fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's true.
You're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do something with your time. You're going to do something with your life. Your life is going to be spent. Every single day you have is going to be spent. You're not going to come down to the end of life, okay, you got 15 days you didn't use. No. All 24 hours get used up every week. Every day, every hour of every day gets used. What are you using it for?
Right.
I ain't doing nothing. Asked Brian, said, Brian was getting his diploma, and he's standing up there, you know, a couple of hours as he goes down the line, and we're all up there waiting for Brian to walk across the stage. I said, Brian, what were you thinking of? Nothing. I said, blow in one ear and change his mind. I got to give him a hard time. I can't wait to hear what my funeral will be like. See, I won't ever be able to answer him again then. If you are not filling your life with spiritual things, you will be filling them with worldly things. Now, I don't mean for you to be so spiritual that you're of no earthly good. I know some people like that. They are so spiritual, or they think they're so spiritual. They're so righteous, or they think they're so righteous. They're about worthless. You need to be a real human being, you know. You need to have normal desires and plans and things, you know. You got to be able to fit into society. Going off and becoming a monk somewhere, living out on a hill, I would have loved to have done it a few times in my life. I said, oh boy, that being a forest ranger sounded good. But you know what? You can only convert so many bears, deer and rabbits. And God called me to preach to people, so I have to put up with people, and I have to be with people where people are to do the work God called me to do. But you need to be busy walking in the Spirit. Because if you do not walk in the Spirit, it's a guarantee you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in fact, it's awful hard to keep walking in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Am I making myself clear? I hope so. It says here, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. I guess when I first got saved, I thought all these people I was coming into the church with were just all great people. They all have a high standards, and or they don't gossip and commit adultery, and they don't cheat and lie, and they don't fight and backbite. Did I get an awakening? And then, you know, you thought, well, at least the preachers. Boy, I've had an awakening there too. I tell you, preachers are just people. Some of them not even as good as many people. Do you know what? You are in a battle. A bigger battle than if you were fighting your next door neighbor with a baseball bat each day. Now I know there's some places I would hate to live, because if I had so-and-so over here and so-and-so over here, how could you ever have any peace? But that's exactly what you are in life. There is a battle going on every day in your life for the control of your actions that day. Control of your mind, the control of your works. Control of your money. Control of your testimony. There is the flesh saying, do this. There is the Spirit saying, do that. You see these little cartoons, you know? They got the little dark angel over here and devil. You got the little white angel over here, you know, the Lord. And they're each talking to your head. There's more truth to that than fiction. That's happening all the time. You know, in my mind, I will get mad about something and I'll just rise up, and then if I act real quickly, you don't want to act quickly. You don't want to act quickly. Because if I did, I'd make some real mistakes. You want to wait a little while. Wait till your head gets cooled down a little bit. Wait until you can think this through and think, maybe they didn't really think the way I think they think. You ever noticed how you think the worst about people? About your husband or your wife. You'll get mad over something they say because you took it the wrong way. They didn't mean it that way. They maybe innocently said it. I said something very innocently to a person here a few months ago, and boy, they took it wrong. They thought I was really putting them down. I had no desire to put anybody down at the time. I sometimes do. I put a lot of people down. I'm a sarcastic so-and-so. It's been in me for so long, so you got to watch me, because I'll snap at you. I'll give it back to you. One of these one-liners, no zing. I like that. But the trouble is, sometimes, you know, boy, you zap somebody and you don't even know you zapped them. We got this battle royal going on all the time. What people see of you is who's winning.
That's right.
They just see who won for the day.
That's right.
Don't judge somebody whether they're saved or not saved on one day's actions.
Amen.
Now, don't judge them on whether they get the victory on certain things. Because you fail an awful lot of times. I know you look upon yourself as being prettier, more handsome, smarter, more righteous than anybody around you. But you know, you might not be.
That's right.
We might not be. I think one of the biggest sins we have in the church is self-righteousness.
Yeah.
Our judging of other people because we think of ourselves so well.
Yeah.
But you got the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You notice the word that the Holy Spirit used, lusting. You know, when somebody's lusty, what do you think about that? That's strong emotion. That's not calm. That's not, they just have a little leaning one direction or the other. No. That's doing battle. That's fighting. In your mind, in your heart, you have a battle going on, and you are the one that settles the victor. The old story about you got the bad black dog and you got the good white dog, and which going to win the battle? Whichever one you feed the most? There's truth to that. There's truth to that. So he says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. Boy, is that a statement of fact. These two are never going to get along. You're never going to make peace between them. They're never going to let you out of the way. Till your dying day, until you leave this life, your flesh is going to battle you. So, are you looking for that nice, peaceful valley? Well, that's in heaven. There are not many of them down here. I would love to pastor a church that had no problems. Wouldn't you, Brother Brown? Brother Trinidad? Yeah. It'd be nice to have a nice church with no problems. I'd like to have a family with no problems. Wouldn't you like to have a family with no problems? Some of you young people think about getting married, you know. Most of my life, there was more months than money. Every month. There was more months than there was money. And you had to find a way around that. And about the time you get yourself paid out of debt, one of your kids will break both arms. And when you get the cast on both arms, all your tires will go flat. Then when you get brand new tires on the car, you'll wreck it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Life is not meant to be easy. I don't know where we got the idea life's supposed to be so easy. We're all supposed to have fun. Life is a battle. And you're in a battle. And the flesh and the spirit are never going to leave each other alone. Now you can go all the way to the flesh, but then you'll have the conviction of the spirit within your heart. You'll know within you at all times that you're not walking where you ought to be walking. You go your best to live in the spirit of God, and you're going to have battles because you're going to be tempted. Satan will not leave you alone. Your flesh will not leave you alone. They lust against each other. They're contrary to one another. Now notice the last part of verse 17. This is something you need to understand. So that you cannot do the things that you would. I've never been able to do all that I wanted to do. I've never been able to do all that I planned to do. I've had plans to be very spiritual. I've had plans to be right. I've had plans to have the truth. I've had plans to build the best church in the world. I've had plans to send out soldiers, spiritual soldiers. I've never lived up to all my plans. I worked hard. I have, but I failed. And sometimes when some people brag on me, well, that's nice. But I know how much I failed. Somebody starts criticizing the church, come talk to me. I can tell you a whole lot more. You don't know how we fail? Oh, shoot. I got a thing as big as Encyclopedia Britannica on our failures. But show me somebody doing it better. You want to start a new church right across the way? I'll help you. I'm not that jealous. I'm not that envious. Hey, we can take one on each corner here. Wouldn't bother me at all. I am in a battle against the flesh to walk in the Spirit and to give God some victory. And that'll be victory for me. If I can order my life to where I walk in the Spirit on a daily basis and defeat the temptations of the flesh on a daily basis, I'm winning. And if I had a church like that, wow. There was a preacher named Peter Cartwright years ago, lived in the days of Andrew Jackson. He was one big, tough mountain preacher. I mean, he carried a gun, and he fought. He was back in lumber camps and stuff like that. But he was a very famous preacher in his day, and he was preaching, and President Andrew Jackson went to hear him preach where he was in some church preaching, I guess close to Washington maybe. And so he's up there trying to preach, and there's this assistant or pastor or somebody pulling on his coattail and says, Andrew Jackson's here, Andrew Jackson's here. And he ignored him. Andrew Jackson's here. Hey, Andrew Jackson. Yeah, well, if Andrew Jackson doesn't get saved, he'll go to hell like everybody else. And Andrew Jackson went up to him after the service and said, if I had a regiment like you, I'd win every battle. You ought to be sold out for something. He was sold out for Christ. Amen. Sold out to the spiritual side. Why don't you decide, I've got a goal, and that is to be spiritual. Amen. Not to please me, but for you to win.
Amen.
You to win. We got all these little wars going on right here in this room. All these little wars. Battles you're going to walk in the Spirit and deny the flesh. You don't need to do it so you can brag on somebody about how much you whip the flesh. We all know you're not going to whip it very far or for very long. You got a new battle coming tomorrow. But how about you winning? You cannot do the things that you would. A whole lot of things you planned on doing and you've been defeated, haven't you? Well, that doesn't mean you have to quit. I understand from my Bible there's no discharge in this war. I mean, I remember my discharge came. I was happy. I was a happy man. I said, if they ever get me again, they're going to get me out of Arkansas or Colorado. They're going to have to find me in the sticks. I'm not volunteering for this anymore. I did one time. That was enough for me. Man, I voluntarily gave them that much power over my life. That's something. Now, I'm not knocking you old military men. That's fine. You had a good job. You did a good job. Praise the Lord. But I just like my freedom. You cannot do the things you would. The flesh is fighting you, keeping you from doing the things that you would. And a lot of things that you would do, you'll never accomplish. That doesn't mean you don't try. It don't mean you keep going for it. But you've got a battle. And you don't get to do all the things you plan on doing. You got to aim for some of these things. Now notice in verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. That's an interesting thought. If you be led of the Spirit, if you're following the Spirit of God, you don't have to worry about law. You know why? Because the Spirit is going to lead you in the path of God. This book was written by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what comes into you when you get saved. If all you did was join a church, you may not have the Holy Spirit in you. But if you got saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can be led of the Spirit of God. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now he mentions the works of the flesh. And we can spend a lot of time on them, but I could preach on each one of them. I never get through Galatians. But here's the example. How can you tell what you're led by? Just take a look. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, sexual lust, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, wrath, strife. Well, some people are always there. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. And, well, it's not in the Bible. The Bible never says I shouldn't smoke. No, it doesn't. It says such like. Bible doesn't say I have to do this or I don't do that. Yeah, it says such like. Is it anything like some of the other things we got on here? Well, just take a look. If it's anything like that, you put it in the category. It goes in that bucket. He said, I've told you before in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not the people of God. Now, don't get me wrong. That does not mean a Christian cannot do those things. They can. They do. That is a shock. It hurts all new Christians when they see it in themselves, when they see it in others, when they see it in the church. But the church is not a place of perfect people, not even a place of good people. It's a place of redeemed sinners.
Amen.
Not perfect, redeemed. Not perfect, forgiven. Now that's not an excuse for you to go do anything you want to do. Because I guarantee you, you live in these things here, you pay a price right down here. You're born again, you're headed for heaven, praise God. You do these things, heaven bound or not, you pay a price right down here. You don't get out of paying that price either. Not by repenting, not by being forgiven, not by confessing it to the Lord, not by being honest about it. You don't get out of paying the price. There'd be plenty of examples in this room right here. They could testify. I can say, I paid the price. I'm still paying the price. Look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. Who gets the fruit of the Spirit? People who are led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Everybody spiritual? Get the fruit of the Spirit that he's talking about here? No. There are a lot of spiritual people who are not led by the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. Do you understand me? Am I clear? I'm saved, so I've got all of this. No, not necessarily. You may be saved and you're going to go to heaven when you die. And you know what saved means? Saved doesn't mean you're better than anybody around. Saved doesn't even mean you're going to win. Saved doesn't mean you're going to be successful. I know a lot of saved people that have really trashed their lives. I believe they're saved. But they mess up. But let's suppose there's a goal here. That if you are a spiritual being, you are led by the Spirit of God and you walk in the Spirit. Is there something for that? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's some real good things come out of that. Now, for years, I had a little trouble understanding the fruit of the Spirit. And then I read a man, I heard a sermon, whatever, I don't know, years ago. But he divided up into three areas, and it really, really clarified things for me. The first three are what you get in yourself. The fruit of the Spirit in you, my Christian, if you walk by the Spirit and are led by the Spirit, is love, joy, and peace. That's inside you. You're filled with love. You love God. You can love your fellow man. You got joy. Joy is inside of you. peace. Doesn't mean you got peace with anybody else in the world. It means you got peace in your heart. Love and joy and peace. That's for you, the believer. Well, look at the next three. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. That's you in relation to other people. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. How can some people put up with you? They got the long-suffering of God. How about gentleness? Gentleness in dealing with people. That's a spiritual blessing. That's a fruit of the Spirit of God in your life. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. In your relationship to other people, if you are a spiritual being, you walk in the Spirit, you are led of the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit of God will come into your life, and your relationship with others will be long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. What about towards God? Faith, meekness, temperance. God doesn't bless good people. Sorry. There are not many of that category around. It wouldn't be a very big blessing. God blesses faith. God does not promise to take care of all the needs of all the world. He doesn't promise to take care of every widow or every person that has need or problem. He promises to bless faith. You better read this book. Understand, God is not as sentimental as you are. He's just not. He wasn't very sentimental when He sent the flood. He sent the flood. Read about Him in Revelation. Get over there back there when the whole world is going to stand before God and the most of the world is going to be dropped into hell. He's not very sentimental. Not like you and I think about sentiment. But God blesses faith. And what will be one of the fruits of the Spirit of God, one part of the fruit of God that's in you, is faith. You walk in the Spirit, led of the Spirit, you're going to have faith in God's Word and in God Himself. And then you'll have meekness. We're all so proud. We know a few humble people. We think they're very weak, but we're all so proud. We walk around so cocky and proud and think, what everybody thinks of us. Do you know most of the people in the room aren't thinking about you? They're thinking about what you're thinking of them. It'll solve a lot of problems if you figure that out. We're all so self-centered. We're worried about how do I look? Oh, how do I look? I don't care how you look. I don't know how I look. Isn't that the truth? Oh, come on, fess up. You know I'm telling you the truth. Meekness. Before God. You say, Lord, You're Lord. I'm nothing. How many people... I've been there. I'm sorry to say I've been there quite a few times. People are mad at God. Why'd You do this to me? I'm better than that. I've done this to You, and I've never done that. And Lord, how come this... Why am I like this? Why has this happened to me? No, the fruit of the Spirit will put meekness there. Amen. You're Lord. Amen. I'm hurting all over, but You're Lord. Amen. I don't understand. I'm crying. I don't understand, but You're Lord. Amen. Meekness before God. Temperance. Self-control. If you're led of the Spirit of God, you walk in the Spirit, you're going to control the flesh. That's your only place of victory. You're not going to get anywhere else. It's not just going to naturally happen. Oh, this person just naturally walks in the Spirit more than him. No. Oh, this person's just luckier than him. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. No. It's a result of your walk. And that's a result of your faith. So the fruit of the Spirit within the believer is love and joy and peace. The believer in his relationship to other believers in the world, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and towards God Almighty, faith, meekness, and temperance. That is the fruit of the Spirit of God, of you walking in the Spirit. That's good stuff. You ought to write it down.
Amen.
They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. In a practical way, that's the only way for victory. That's practical. Now, crucifixion is not suffering. I know many people, and we talk about bearing our cross, bearing our crosses. Well, Jesus' cross that he bore took him to his death. Didn't take him out to suffer for a few hours and then let him down to go on. It went to his death. And there have been some real victories in Christian lives when they've crucified affections and lusts. I read some biographies of some men and how they handled their fight, this spirit lusting against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. And some of them come to the place, they just cut it off. Boom. Made a clean break. They burned their bridges and got some victories. There are victories to be had. Even when you're losing, my friend, there's always help in God. There's always hope. There's always help. So they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I wish that were a reality, a practical reality in every Christian's life. The trouble with a lot of us Christians is we have decided not to walk led of the Spirit. We've decided, I want an insurance policy against the fires of hell. I would like a little comfort and fellowship along the way, but I don't want to become a fanatic. I don't want to get too sold out on this Christianity business. I don't want to be too much into the Bible. And you know, people think I'm weird. They think you're weird anyway. Don't kid yourself. You think they're all looking at you thinking, oh, I wish I had his life. No, they look at you and say, man, what did you do? How did you get to the way you are? They think you're weird. I mean, really weird. Who could think like you think? Man, you are a Neanderthal. You're a dinosaur. They called me a dinosaur when I was 25. I just eaten my first cookie. Get three cookies, you know, 75. Verse 25, he comes back. You get three cookies. You eat up one each 25 years. I know, it's difficult. 25. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, he comes down to a good conclusion here. He's been talking about the Spirit of God all along here. This is a lesson on the Holy Spirit and a Spirit-filled life. Okay. He comes down, okay. Now, knowing all I'm telling you about walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. I'm telling you about how there's a battle going between the Spirit and the flesh. Hear what the flesh does. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. Now look at this verse 25. If we live in the Spirit. All right, let me ask you something. Are you a spiritually living person? Do you live in the Spirit of God? Well, you know, you really are. You may not recognize it. The devil knows it. You got a different smell about you. He can just walk into the room and he sniff you out. You're not going to fool him any time at all. God's the same way. There may not be an aura sitting over your head, but I guarantee you there's something coming out of you. Well, if we're led, I mean, if we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Hey, spiritual people, start walking like a spiritual person.
Amen.
Hey, spiritual people, if you are a spiritual person, you've been born again by the Spirit of God, then why don't you walk in the Spirit of God? Be led of the Spirit of God. Have the fruit of the Spirit of God. Doesn't that make good sense? You need to pick a side. You know, there are a lot of people, they never will pick a side. They can't choose. They don't know how to pick friends. They're just going to be friendly with everybody. Well, you really get no friends that way. You get a lot of acquaintances that think well of you, but you get no real friends that way. You've got to pick and choose. And bless your heart, when you choose Christ, you automatically choose against the world. To be for God means you have to be against the devil. To love God, you got to hate the devil. You can't just sort of tolerate God and tolerate the devil. Choose a side. Find a side. Get on a side. Let somebody know, I'm on this side.
Amen.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That just makes good sense. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, I guess most of the glory of the world is vain. Just read about one of the great track stars that had 5 gold medals, and she's losing all of her glory now. May go to jail for lying to the federal government. The truth is, she could probably won 2 or 3 of those without those steroids. You know, what a waste. That's vain glory. Vain glory. Winning by cheating is vain glory. In fact, most of the laurels we get and crowns we wear, they're vain. Don't be desirous of vain glory. And quit provoking one another and envying one another. You know, that fruit of the Spirit in your life would take care of that. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's be led of the Spirit. Let's have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Let it be out there. And if we're going to live in the Spirit, and we are, you're a born-again child of God today, then let's walk in the Spirit. Well, praise the Lord.